This podcast features three supposed adults who definitely use adult language. They're also supposedly writers who are definitely not procrastinating by making this podcast. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to No Bad Ideas, the storytelling game show where we take the worst ideas from the internet and try to turn them into stories that are actually good.
My name is Gabriel Urbina, and I am your first Bad Ideas host.
My name is Sarah Shackett. I'm your second Bad Ideas host.
And my name is Zach Valenti, your third Bad Ideas host.
And today we are joined here in the Cave of Anti-Wonders, in the Bad Ideas headquarters, by a very, very special guest star. She is the co-creator of Arden. She is the co-creator of the Historical Hookups podcast. It is a writer and podcaster that we deeply, deeply admire. It's Sarah Golub. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here. I have so many bad ideas.
Excellent.
You have come to the wrong slash exactly right place.
Here exactly is. Wrong place.
Sarah, before we get started, you want to tell the folks at home a little bit about your shows, both of which are fantastic and everyone should be listening to them?
Yes, I would love to do that. So Arden is an audio drama. It's a fictional true crime podcast. It's a sort of serial behind the scenes where you get to see all the like messy woke drama and the outtakes and the screw ups. So it's a bit of a workplace comedy and a bit of a rom-com between the hosts, who are Bia and Brenda. But all of the actual events of the crime are taken very seriously and I hope respectfully. So it's not like it's sometimes true crime. It gets a little, you feel gross after listening to it. And we try to avoid that.
Yeah, it can get a little flippant on occasion.
It can
occasion.
Get icky. Yeah.
Yeah.
We try to take the crime seriously, but the people reporting the crimes, fair game. We, the bunch of clowns, trying their best. So season one of Arden it's already out. It's free. If you don't want to listen to it, please consider downloading it anyway. We're an indie show. It would help us a lot.
The files look great on your phone.
They do. Yes. Like, it's a lovely logo.
It just makes your phone look so great.
Yeah, exactly. It's what else are you doing? Season two is coming out at some point soon. Unless society collapses, which is a joke I've been making since September and gets less funny every week.
Right, like now it's like actually a meaningful caveat.
Yeah, legitimately, we're trying to get it out, but society might collapse. And season two, in a broad strokes, if season one was Serial, season two is a take on S-Town. That's just a lot more about when people get too emotionally invested in a story and a certain character sort of takes over it. So that'll be a fun, messy time that I hope people enjoy. And then Historical Hookups is a nonfiction podcast about history, where me and three other female comedians research a historical figure and all their affairs and their sex life, and we give you all the dirty details, all the good gossip about what they got up to. None of their accomplishments. We don't care about the historical context at all. We just want to know who they were screwing and what they were wearing and when.
So the important stuff.
Yeah, eyes on the prize.
Exactly. It's the stuff that you're just not getting out of actual education.
Well, that's awesome. Everyone should definitely go check out both Arden and Historical Hookups. Arden, I believe, has the best track record for No Bad Ideas guests so far.
So far, yeah.
Our very, very first guest on No Bad Ideas was Michelle Agresti, who plays one of the two leads in Arden. And our first return guest who kind of came on the show and was a glutton for punishment enough to want to do it again, was Emily Vanderwerf, who is one of the other co-creators of the show.
Arden pulls ahead.
No, this is just a bingo scheme for getting all of you on the show. We'll go after Chris. We'll get Lindsay Zana. We'll do it all.
I love a good I love the sense of completion. Just a complete collection of art and talent.
Well, before we launch into our great Gotta Catch 'Em All schemes, though, we have some business to attend to here for this episode. If this is the first time that you are tuning into No Bad Ideas, welcome, welcome. This is the show where the hosts find articles, anecdotes, Reddit posts, whatever it is. Just something that captures a really, really terrible idea that somebody had at one point. And then we collectively give ourselves just 10 minutes to turn that into the idea, the notion, the beginnings, at least, of a good story. And today, I believe that our first bad idea provider du jour is Miss Sarah Shackett.
Oh, yes. Hello. I have something short and sweet. But I think, you guys can go places with it.
What is the origin of this idea? From when
does it come?
The origin
is Reuters, which I love their like weird news section is called Oddly Enough. There's also, dear listeners, if you would like to read along or watch the video that is embedded in this article, highly recommend doing that. As Reuters helpfully provides, it's just a 2-minute read. So I will start with the headline. So a 5-year-old who was stopped on the U.S. highway wanted to buy a Lamborghini, police say.
So far, this all tracks.
Yeah, I mean, it's, who
doesn't? Just keep getting younger
who
and younger.
Right. So a trooper stopping a car with a suspected impaired driver on a U.S. highway on Monday was bemused to find the fact that it's on a highway was bemused to find a 5-year-old in the driver's seat. The Utah Highway Patrol tweeted.
Bemused is a word to use.
It's a word.
As opposed to incredibly alarmed or horrified or some of the other ones that come to mind.
After seeing a vehicle driving slowly and weaving in the left lane of Interstate 15 freeway, again, horrifying.
Oh, my God.
Get your
the trooper
shit together,
turned on
Utah.
His siren, and the driver neatly pulled over to the side of the road.
No
dashboard camera
that,
video posted by the police captures the conversation between the trooper and the driver, which has since been viewed on YouTube almost 760,000 times.
Wow.
You're 5 years old, the trooper says. Wow.
Oh, my God. That's
my favorite line in this. He then asks the child where he learned how to drive and takes down other details. The boy, who was not identified as he is a minor, said he left home in his parents' vehicle after arguing with his mother, who told him that she would not buy him a Lamborghini. Quote, he decided to take the car and go to California to buy one himself.
Oh my God.
And where was the story set?
Utah.
Okay. So that's
feasible.
A drive, but like, it's not like a cross country adventure.
He's
no.
Five.
Right.
I
it
mean,
is
he's
feasibly.
Five. He should be commended for knowing which direction California is in.
Right. It is feasibly the longest trip that this human child had ever embarked upon.
Right. He decided to go to take the car and go to California to buy one himself, the police said in a tweet, adding, quote, he might have been short on the purchase amount as he only had $3 in his wallet.
Oh, my God.
But he's a great haggler. He's really good at like talking those salesmen down from the asking
absolutely.
Price.
Absolutely. The Utah police did not respond to requests for more information about the boy. That is it. I give you a 5-year-old's quest to buy a Lamborghini. I am going to put 10 minutes on this timer. Go for it.
So you are aware there's a 9-year-old on YouTube who's amassed enough money that not only was she able to afford I don't know if it was a Lamborghini or one of these ridiculous sports cars, but also a money gun, which is exactly what it sounds like.
It's okay.
Okay, sure. Why not?
I just feel like they keep getting younger.
My question is, why is he so fixated on a Lamborghini specifically? Like, I don't think I knew what a Lamborghini was when I was five.
I think it's because of YouTube.
This child is a gearhead, like, clearly from the womb.
Yeah, I mean, if that kid knows how to pull over, I mean, it took me forever to learn how to drive. So this kid is, he's operating on a different level. My first thought when I heard this was kind of like that movie Little that was reverse big, where like a CEO becomes a little girl. I like that. That's to right. me was is what I'm picturing Easter as egg? Like, yes, she's in that.
Yeah.
So I'm like picturing like an adult who sort of has
trapped
to become
a
kid and
body.
Is like, but refuses to change their lifestyle whatsoever.
Totally.
I also, when you mentioned that Utah to California thing, I'm picturing like just one of those two opposites on a road trip movies, but they're both under seven.
Right.
Maybe like a 5-year-old and their babysitter like have to hit the road.
Right.
But the twist is that the babysitter doesn't know how to drive.
But the 5-year-old does.
Yeah.
It could even be like a Freaky Friday situation where like they switch bodies. And now, ooh, you know, yeah. It's like the person that knows how to drive is in the body of the 5-year-old. But the person that is physically able to look over the dash cam or over the dashboard, rather,
it's all about
has
communication.
No idea
they have
what
to
the
work
pedals
together.
Do. That's right.
They need to work together to get to California in time. And yeah, the trade is like, if you drive me there, I will buy you that Lamborghini.
Right.
But
I think
have
there
to get
needs
there.
To be a stronger motivation, at least for one of them. Like for the 5-year-old, getting the Lamborghini, fine. Like that's totally chill. However, I do have questions about what babysitter who still works as babysitter has the money to afford a Lamborghini. But we can put that aside for the time being. I think we do need to figure out kind of like what is the adult's pressing need in California? Are they going there to stop a wedding, to, you know,
dream casting call in Hollywood.
Right. Is somebody
that's
about
my
to
mind.
Get, like, ship off overseas and they want to sort of, like,
I
see them
that
one
it's
more
probably
time.
About them learning some sort of inner lesson. So maybe it could be something like, a kid and their like kid and their mom or a kid and their dad and the other parent had like left and is maybe going to propose to their new person and it's like this they never appreciated their family but now they're their kid and they've learned to appreciate their family, something like that.
Right.
I think maybe they don't need to swap bodies, they can just I don't know why you would. I can't imagine what would make someone want something enough that they're like, yeah, 5-year-old though, let's get on the highway, but you never know.
Yeah, in that case, I think it would probably need to be like older sibling, younger sibling. Maybe something has happened to the parents and they need to go like rescue them or something.
Ooh, I like that. So mom and dad are in trouble. We gotta work together.
Right. It's like the plot of Spy Kids, but instead of with like superhero kids, actual children.
Well, but like whatever it is, you know, this sort of like conceit kind of makes it so that necessarily the theme needs to be about kind of like recognizing your own age and kind of, you know, like the older kid who's maybe like in their teens or their early 20s really acts as though they are kind of like a complete full adult. And they need to kind of recognize with kind of like, no, it's okay to still be a little bit of a kid sometimes. And the little kid probably needs to know that, like, okay, but like, even though you're 5, it's okay to start taking some responsibility and kind of, you know, not just being a whiny brat all the time. So I'm trying to think about what is an adult problem for mom and dad to be having that kind of refracts that in an interesting way.
And problems of responsibility and like how much of it you're taking on in your life.
Right.
Mostly my head's thinking of like job stuff, like mm-hmm. a promotion or like someone who is a workaholic who needs to learn to step back kind of a thing.
Ooh, oh yeah. I could see something where it's like the parent is supposed to do some big presentation and they've just, they're like really irresponsible and they've sort of like made their kids grow up too fast to like cover for them. And like the mm-hmm. kids are like, oh, we have to get this model or this binder or whatever, like physical thing.
Right. They forget the model.
Yeah. To them in time for this presentation so that they can get that promotion. And then like while the kids are doing this like cross country road trip to save their dad or save their mom, they sort of realize that like, that they should get to be kids and they shouldn't have to be the ones who know how to drive at the age of five and yeah. are cleaning up this stuff and like sort of, and it makes, and they, you know, confront their parents and their parents are like, oh, you're right. We should be the parents and you guys should get to be the kids and that kind of thing.
Right. Right.
Absolutely. I think that an alternative, and although I do quite like that, I think that may be even a little bit stronger than what I'm about to say, but it could be something yeah. where, you know, mom and dad are separated. The kids live with, picking one at random, dad. Mm-hmm. One day, sort of like mom, who by now is like a little bit distant from everyone, kind of comes by and sort of tells them that like she's been offered a like really great job at whatever firm she works at, you know, Nova Scotia brand or like, you know, like the Sri right. Lanka offices. And, you know, she kind of wants to talk it through with them. And especially maybe the older kid is kind of going like, take it. I don't care. You're never here anyway. And just kind of like very coldly shuts mm-hmm. them down and kind of, you know, places the blame for them not being around on her feet. And then maybe kind of has a like come to Jesus moment where it's kind of like, oh, God, what have I done? Have I just like pushed my mother away? And then they have to race to get to whatever big corporate retreat her mother is going to where she's going to accept that offer because she left her cell phone accidentally behind. And so they have no ways to reach her, something like that. But there's
it's,
kind of a,
it's
like,
one of those
smartphone devices.
One of those no devices retreats.
That's exactly it.
Digital detox.
Yes. That's oh, my right. God. Perfect. That's great. Oh. Yes.
All right. I right. think we're on to
which means
very
you can like
movie.
When they're having mayhem on the highway and you cut to the mom like in the redwoods
yeah. trying to zen out.
Yeah, like in the background, someone turns on the TV and there's like a snatch of the news footage, and then someone very studiously walks over and like shuts it off before like it can get to like anything useful. Mm. I love that.
Ooh, I love that. There's this this whisper network of like, did you see that story about like the kids that are leading the police on a high speed chase, but like no one's supposed to know about it? So it's they're all whispering, and then it finally reaches the mom, and she's like, "That's so funny. That's my car."
right.
I think we're onto a very good movie, but I just real quick, I want to pitch a real curveball. It's like Fast and the Furious with 5-year-olds, where the idea is that if they get busted, they get away with it because they're like, "I'm just a 5-year-old," but they're all just secret criminal masterminds.
Fucking sold. Let's go. Love it. Yeah.
Well, no, you have about 50 it. Seconds, so okay. choose which idea you're going with and give it a title.
Oh my God. I have to admit, I'm so intrigued by this world of kind of, you know, it's like that Boss Baby movie of like this like weirdly aware and like hyper competent young kid, but transplanted into the world of high speed drag racing.
The problem with that is the title Fast Five is already taken.
I know.
It's true.
Yeah. And it would need to sort of be something like, you know, like Terrible Twos or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, Fifth Gear already exists.
Ah, yeah. No, my God.
Fifth Gear is a good one.
It's like, you know, like, yeah, no, I'm not sure.
Well, that's time. We can think about it. We'll workshop it.
Wow, Sarah, that was a bad idea you got there.
Yeah.
Y'all did some great things with it. I'm so pleased. I would watch like all three of these movies.
All of which would be a great reminder as to why I'm happy to not have kids right now. Well, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with more No Bad Ideas.
Hey everyone, Gabriel here. I'm breaking into the episode for just a moment with a super quick message for all of you. Are you looking for a new podcast to listen to right now? Something that's maybe a little historical, maybe a lot entertaining, but also, well, a little off the beaten path? If so, I've got just the thing for all of you. It's a podcast called Outliers, Stories from the Edge of History, produced by Historic Royal Palaces in association with Rusty Quill. It's an anthology series that brings you tales from history, but specifically from the corners of history that don't usually get to be in the spotlight for very long. So stories like, what does happen to someone after their marriage to a king is annulled? Or what happens when someone who has almost everything in the world turns to witchcraft just so that they can get that last little thing that they don't have? 2 whole seasons of the show are out right now, so that's 20 full stories by amazing writers like David K. Barnes, Eli Barraza, Alex Lynch, Beth Crane, and so many other wonderful, talented folks. So check it out. You can find Outliers, Stories from the Edge of History, wherever quality podcasts are found, or you can visit them at rustyquill.com/outliers. Once again, that's rustyquill.com/outliers. All right, that's it. Let's get back to the show.
And welcome back, everybody. I hope that you're pulled over safely, all 5-year-olds especially.
Make sure because the parking brake is on.
I have the next bad idea. And
you do.
My God, the twists and turns. It is a 2-parter. starting with, from Fox News, India captures, quote, spy pigeon suspected of working for Pakistan, reports.
Is this, like, what year is this from?
This is from May 26th, because 2020 is the year that keeps on giving.
But giving what, Zach? Giving what?
Everything.
It may be the year that keeps on taking. Yeah.
It giveth and it taketh all the things.
Oh, boy.
A pigeon suspected of being trained as a Pakistani spy has been detained near a disputed border in India after officials discovered a coded ring attached to its foot, according to a report. The pigeon, painted pink, was captured Sunday by villagers in Maniyari, located near the international border that separates Indian and Pakistan-controlled Kashmir, the Times of India reported. While it's unclear where the bird came from, it's reportedly believed the bird flew across the border in Pakistan. Quote, the pigeon suspected to be trained in Pakistan for spying has a ring with alphabets and numbers written on it, a police source told the paper. Though birds have no boundaries and many fly across international borders during migration, a coded ring tagged to the captured pigeon's body is a cause for concern, as migratory birds don't have such things.
Sorry, I just realized that my Game of Thrones style house name, like my house's words would be birds have no boundaries.
It's so good. Kathua Police's senior superintendent, I'm going to screw this up, Shalyandra Mishra, said it was unclear whether the bird was intended to spy, noting that people in Pakistan tie number tags on pigeons to claim ownership, according to Sky News. He said an investigation was underway. There have been previous reports of birds carrying suspected secret messages across the border into India. Indian authorities captured a bird in 2015 that was found to have a message written in Urdu, the national language of Pakistan, on its wings, the Telegraph reported. In 2016, a bird with a note that allegedly threatened Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi was found at the Pakistan border and taken by police, according to Sky News. So this is part one. Followed the next day by BBC News with the most adorable Pakistani villager urges India to return, quote, spy pigeon with a picture of said pigeon. A Pakistani villager has urged Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi to return his pigeon currently being held in India on charges of spying. The man who lives just 2.5 miles from the border said he flew his pigeons to celebrate Eid Festival.
Eid?
E-I-D?
I think.
Eid Festival. Police said the pigeon had a ring on one of its legs inscribed with a code that they were trying to decipher. The Pakistani villager, who claims the arrested pigeon is his, said the code is actually his mobile phone number. Pakistan's Dawn paper has identified the man as, I'm going to screw this up, Habibullah, and reports that he owns a dozen pigeons. Habibullah told the paper that his pigeon was a, quote, symbol of peace, and that India should, quote, refrain from victimizing innocent birds. Villagers captured the bird on Monday along the international border and Indian administered Kashmir and handed it over to the police. The Kashmir region is claimed by both India and Pakistan and is the scene of regular military exchanges between the nuclear-armed neighbors. In May 2015, a white pigeon was arrested after it was spotted by a 14-year-old boy in a village close to the border. And in 2016, another pigeon was taken into custody with the note threatening the Indian Prime Minister. The nations have been rivals for a long time, with the last full war between them taking place in 1971. So that is the bad idea of the day, two-parter.
Like I just read a Tolstoy novel.
On the clock.
I'm still back in the Song of Ice and Fire, you know, like, a girl has no name, a bird has no boundaries.
I loved how that sentence read like their actual in the moment thought process, where they're like, no, okay, birds are allowed to go where they want, but one has to wonder where we draw the line.
Right.
Birds have no boundaries, but they also don't have secret codes on their ankles that happen to be phone numbers of their owners.
All right. Zach, is there a timer running?
There's a timer running.
Great. Perfect. So here's the pitch.
Yeah.
So let's say that you have a spy, someone that is very charismatic and popular. Let's say that he's maybe played by Will Smith.
Oh,
so
no, don't do this. Don't do this.
Into a pigeon, but has to continue to carry out his spy mission even as a pigeon.
That sounds like a marketable idea, and I think you have something there.
I also thought about, like, there was a bad animated Ewan McGregor movie where he's
a
pigeon in World War II.
Yeah.
He's training to be a messenger.
No, someone really wanted to make, like, a World War II movie, and they wouldn't give him funding. And so then they rewrote it to be an animated movie about pigeons. And then someone went, we can do that. That is sellable.
Right.
Yeah, it's a weird movie.
They call that. Huh.
Valiant, I think it's called.
Oh,
it's
I believe that is exactly the name, yeah. Oh, yeah, no, it's real.
A pitch. It's a real movie. It's very strange.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Where my mind went to this is, like, messenger pigeons and secret notes, and it is, like, the pigeon does have a secret note on it, but it's, like, a romantic one. Like, maybe...
Yeah.
Maybe it's, like, an affair...
Romeo and Juliet situation.
Oh, yeah, or maybe it's, like, could you see that movie... This was not I do not endorse this movie. Road Trip, where the guy sends his girlfriend like a breakup letter and then regrets it and needs to get there before she gets the letter so he can like destroy it.
No, although that's a good motivation for the first half of the idea in the first half of this episode, I just realized.
Oh yeah, that would have.
Because that's sort of something that is like really about like, yeah, like, you know, learning to like take responsibility for your actions. But anyway, I digress.
But yeah, you like you send a letter to your true love and maybe it's a love confession or maybe it's spilling your heart out, but it's like a secret affair that no one can know about. Or maybe it's like a breakup that you regret, but like you, some sort of deeply, deeply personal letter. And you do every precaution you can to make sure that no one would be able, only your intended would be able to know what it meant.
Right.
Yeah.
And then it gets captured by the government and everyone in Pakistan, everyone in India, everyone across the globe is like, what is the code on this letter?
What does
and you're
it
just
mean?
Sitting there. Like
the
being
India's
like,
best code breakers are on it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you as a hapless person need to find some way for you on your own to outsmart all of the governments in the world to keep your inner heart secret safe.
Right.
I also love kind of like all the scenes that would kind of be like, you know, whoever the main character's like friend, like glancing at the news and being like, isn't that your pit? And the person being
no,
shut up.
Not.
It isn't. I have my pigeon. My pigeon is here and they are fine and they are well. Why would you even say that? My pigeon is definitely here. Please go away and stop asking about my pigeon.
Ooh, as a bonus thing, they could be in love with like, depending on, I guess, the age of this person, the wife or the daughter of the other country's like prime minister?
Yeah,
or like secretary
thought.
Of defense or whatever. So like they know that that's the guy in charge of this code breaking is the one person it would be worse to find out what it is.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
I love that so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So wait a minute. So are they both kind of like, is like both the main character and their distant beloved? They're both kind of like the offspring of these like powerful government officials then?
That would make sense.
I like
and
that.
Then, like,
yeah,
they
so
could
like
they met at a G20
sweet
at some function.
Teen love
exactly.
Story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
And they,
even
like,
though
really
their countries are adversaries, they're in love.
No, and like it could be one of these things where like they went to the summit. Their parents went into like whatever closed door negotiation they went into, and at that point, everyone thought that they were friends. And so these two kids meet, they have this great afternoon together, they fall in love, and they come back just in time to like hear the door slamming and like one person storms out and is like, you're all dead to us.
Right.
You're now the enemy. And they're just kind of like, wait, what is going on? What happened? We were cool. And it's like, no, never again. They are now the sworn enemy of everyone in our country. No, wait, but like, don't even look at them. They're not worthy to be looked at.
So, okay. So the kids are working to figure out kind of parent trap style, what went wrong and can they reconcile these nations?
Why does it keep coming back to Lindsay Lohan movies?
Because the Parent Trap is a good movie.
But no, absolutely. I think that is where it
right
goes.
And so that's a reason for them to be exchanging coded messages and they fall in love over their correspondence. And it's like, maybe the president's son realizes something and sends it off to the prime minister's daughter or the prime minister's son or whoever. And like, so there's a love secret and like a state secret in the message that's intercepted.
Right.
Oh yeah. Especially if like, you know, this important head of armies or spy stuff or whatever is like, keep seeing the same colorful pigeons and he gets very paranoid.
Yeah.
And it's because they're for his daughter and the love messages, but he thinks that he's being targeted.
Right.
And
totally.
I can see it even spiraling into this like thick of it burn after reading disaster where
totally.
Like they get drawn to like the brink of nuclear war because everyone keeps all of these misunderstandings of like,
well,
right.
I'm being hunted and I'm being spied on and how do they, you know,
and it just escalates.
This is
yeah.
true. Then this is true. And we can't
yeah,
trust
yeah, yeah.
birds anymore. Birds are done. We're done with birds.
No, and that makes, I think, even more sense.
The episode title.
Yeah.
Done with birds.
That makes even more sense if there really is that dynamic where there is a multiple secrets in this message, one that is personal and one that is state. because then if the code breakers break the state secret, then it's kind of like, no, look, this is like a real
this
threat.
Actually,
and we don't even know what's in the other one. Like, who knows what's in there? Like, that's even more dangerous, probably.
I love this so much.
How old are these kids? Like, is this like 10-year-old puppy love? Is this like 14, 15? Are they like 18?
My instinct is somewhere in the teens, but like not slightly five. More capable, like 16, 17.
Not five for sure.
Yeah,
not five.
Yeah, I think it needs to be the crux of this is how mortifying this ordeal is, that like I need to actually get on the BBC and confess my love to this girl or this guy who like maybe just sees me as a friend. I need to put myself out there in front of the whole world because that's
right.
Totally.
But literally the world could end if I don't.
I love it. It's the perfect metaphor for like confessing your love.
It is. Oh my God. It's so adorable.
And it's all just because of this one pigeon.
Yeah. No.
I love it.
So in the
They could just be like, pigeon, why did you not like stay where you were supposed to be? And the pigeon can go like, sorry, birds know no boundaries.
Yeah.
So in the minute or so you have left, I'm curious how it ends and what it's called.
I mean, birds have no boundaries.
It can just be called No Boundaries. And like,
there's
a picture of a bird on the...
What
on the
love poster. And birds have in common.
Yeah.
And I think it ends the way you said it did, Sarah, which is the protagonist gets on the horn with the BBC and like makes a very heartfelt love confession.
And then does it go his way? It, like, is it reciprocated? And does like the nuclear armament get powered down?
I think if it's a teen comedy, it does. If it's some sort of Dr. Strangelove thing. They like hit the button and then the clip plays on the BBC and everyone in the control room like looks at each other and they're like, oh no.
Shit.
I am become death.
Right. And like, I think that like my pitch for kind of a moderate, like middle of the road option would be sort of something where like he does this big declaration of love, you know, and like at like another summit or whatever. The object of his affection does reciprocate his feelings. Her, like, you know, the parents kind of look at each other and they like go into the room to like talk things out. And when they emerge, it's kind of a like, okay, fine. Like, you know, if you guys want to be in touch, you can like use the telephone for fuck's sake. Like, stop it with these birds.
Yeah.
And then they're like, so you guys are cool now? And they like look at each other and they're like, not really. Like, there's a lot of problems. There's still a lot of things that we're figuring out. Like, there's probably not going to be open borders between our countries anymore. But like, look, if you feel that strongly, maybe, you know, we'll be able to figure something out in the future. And it's kind of left on this note of like, okay, some progress, but not like, bling, everything is now figured out with the wave of the magic wand.
Right.
And that's time.
All right, well.
Nice. I definitely watch that.
Yeah, no, I'm into it.
Let's do it. Wow, that is hats off, Zach, on that find, and hats off on like I think the one punch of like the two separate articles. Yes,
I was lucky to catch that second one, and how wonderful! Just
I want my pigeon back, please.
I know.
Anyway, we didn't even get into the fact that a pigeon is being held as like
as a prisoner of
war. An enemy of the state, basically. Yeah. No, it's all so wild.
Oh, it's wild.
Yeah, I would not be super comfortable if one of our border countries was like, "Oh, we're seizing your cat," and I'm like, "What?"
Yeah,
yeah.
You know it. We don't know what she knows. We don't know what she knows.
Yeah. Justin Trudeau, give me my cat bag.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to go off and dwell upon that chilling, terrifying possibility for a little while. But Sarah, thank you so much for coming on the show and for tackling these ideas with us. Dear listeners, stay tuned. We're going to be back on Thursday with more of Sarah here. So tune into that and we'll see you all in just a few days' time.
This has been No Bad Ideas, produced by Gabrielle Urbina, Sarah Shackett, and Zach Valente. Many thanks to our patrons for their partnership in making this show happen. And a special shout out to our Idealist members, Rena Sarame and Jennifer Schneider. Today's episode features music by State Shirt and Jazar from freemusicarchive.org. You can support the show at nobadideaspodcast.com/support. And if you love this show, please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Thanks.